Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest board games straight from our brains into your household. I'm your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
I'm DJ. I'm the other co-host and co-creator. What do we do? What do we do here?
We create the greatest, latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your household. I'm sorry. I don't know why, but genuinely, I was trying to do it off the cuff because I've been practicing it. I mean, I say it enough that I feel like I should be able to just recite it from memory, and I stalled out. It happened.
So you didn't have the prompter in front of you this time?
Yeah, I didn't have the prompter. Or it's like I did have the prompter, and then, you know, someone lied down on the wrong key, and it was like a really long A or something like that, and I panicked.
You mostly got it, though. I mean, what is it? It's welcome to... Or you say, hello, welcome to Miss Dunn Needs More Games. I'm your...
I don't even know what to say.
No, can you keep that? No, you mean like start over?
No. I'm saying, do you just tune that part out? Do you just wait until you
hear my name? I don't tune that part out. I listen to every single bit of it. Hello, welcome to Miss Dunn Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest board market-ready board games straight from our brains into your households. I'm your co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
Yeah.
Yeah,
see, I knew it, mostly.
I know your lines.
A lot of thinking. Yeah, my lines are easy.
Yeah. All right, starting off strong, but... Our opening isn't the only thing that's changed, ladies and gentlemen. It's after hours here at the office. We're recording a late one, so we're bringing that late night energy, you know.
Yeah. I might say a cuss.
Oh, man, he's going to say a curse word.
I'm going to say one of those cusses that people like, you know. People think the cusses are funny, which I agree. Cusses can be funny. We just don't do it a whole lot,
right,
I guess,
time.
Here at Patch Potch.
Yeah.
It's mostly because people don't like cussing in the office. So now that the office is cleared out, we can cuss all we want.
Yeah. Well, the real problem is that during the day, it's a lot like Planet Fitness. And it's like, it's not like the cussing that's that bad. It's that if the cuss alarm does go off, it is just a loud, obnoxious blaring, like bright lights, sounds, everything like that until, you know, whoever the party is apologizes for it. But the problem with it, or at least the main problem with it, is that the alarms are so loud that, you know, the accused party has to scream their apologies so that the censor can also pick up their apology. So it's, again, as annoying as a, or as, you know, as off-putting as a cuss might be, it is honestly the result that is much more so annoying. So who knows? I guess that is a good deterrent, but man, oh man, that thing just goes and goes.
Additionally, if you imagine like you're in a Planet Fitness and you're beside someone who's just like cussing at every single rep that they do, even without an alarm, that is slightly annoying, I would imagine. I've never been in a Planet Fitness or any sort of workout facility because I work out in the comfort of my own home. So I can cuss all I want, but I would imagine that
I can cuss all I want while I do my reps.
While I play my Ring Fit.
Ooh, nice.
Cussing at all the monsters on the screen. Make sure that if you're listening to this episode as well, because it's late night, you can only listen to this after 6 p.m. local time. If you listen to it any earlier, you might do a cuss during the day.
So yeah, it has to be after 6, but before 2 a.m.? I don't know. When does night turn to day?
No, the 2 a.m.'s... No, I'm going to say 5. Because
5?
There are still... Yeah, yeah. Because 5 a.m. is the time when winners go to sleep and when winners go to bed. That's what's... No, wait.
When
winners wake up. Yeah, but I said the same thing twice. When winners get a warm glass of milk and tuck themselves in.
Yeah.
There's some saying that's like 5 a.m. is the time when the overachievers wake up, and it's also the time when overachievers go to bed because they're out there, they're too busy overachieving at both cycles of the day.
So what? So, do they just stay up for 24 hours and then, like, you know, vampire sleep?
Well, no, you switch off and on. You switch. Yeah, you only sleep for a minute, actually. It's
no, I'm saying you're up for a whole day, you do a whole lot of stuff, and then you just turn off for an entire day, and you're just...
You could do that, yeah. Or I'm saying you go to sleep from 5 a.m. to right before it turns 5:01, and, you know, you get that 1 minute of... You get not even a minute of sleep, you get that 59 seconds of sleep, and then you're back to overachieving.
Oh, man. That is a demanding lifestyle.
Well, that's what that's how the saying goes.
I guess. You're a winner until you, you know, pass out from sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fair enough.
That's how you know you've made it. You're probably up in some sort of huge skybox, like, I don't know, glass dome where you own the entire city. So you can pass out whenever you want.
And then you can finally rest.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to say 5 a.m. is the official cutoff because, at least here in Chicago, there are some bars that are open till 4. So give people that hour of time to get back home. And then once they hit, you know, get to that home, that is when it actually turns into morning.
I guess I'll agree with that. I was just thinking that, like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess 5 is officially morning. It just sounds weird to say, like, 4 a.m. to me is, like, nighttime. I feel like that's just pre-morning.
Well, have you ever been out past, like, I haven't done this recently. This has been a long time since I've done this, but you're ever out to, like, 4 a.m. and you still say, like, yesterday I did this. I'm not referring to yesterday as in 4 hours ago. I'm referring to, like, a whole 28 hours ago, you know?
Mm, yeah. Well, you want to hear the nerdiest thing I could probably say at this moment is that the last time I was up till then, I probably wasn't out and about. I was probably either playing video games or watching video games. So, you know, that's my 4 a.m.
Well, that's more our speed. So, I mean, that makes sense. That's what I've been doing at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's what I was doing at 4. That's when the real gamers come out.
That's when the overachieving gamers go to bed and the overachieving gamers go to sleep.
Winners wake up at 5, but gamers go to sleep at 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where I'm going to put my foot down.
Okay. Perfect. So, let me hit you with this before we get into the meat and potatoes of what we do here. I have, and I don't have a name for the segment, but I have a segment for us. It's like taking an existing game, and if you can, or if you could, alter, like, one facet of it. It doesn't have to be, like, a whole rule. It could be just simply putting in an extra bit of flair of theme and flavor and stuff. Like, what would you do to really zest up a game? I don't know. Maybe, like, we'll call it zest... We'll get there.
Working title.
Yeah, working title.
I understand the concept, yeah. I guess whatever game you'd have to pitch, I would also have to know the concept of it or, like, how it's played.
No. You get to pick your game. I just simply want to play some back and forth, tit for tat, throw in game ideas out, maybe get the creative wheels going before we step into the kitchen proper. This is our amuse-bouche of creativity.
Yeah, I get... What would I change about a game? If you've got one, go ahead. Because
Yeah,
go ahead.
What made me think of this is because I was thinking of, again, a game that I thoroughly enjoy, but we just played a round of Mansions of Madness the other night, and I was thinking, I was like, what would I throw in here to really spice it up or change it up? So Mansions of Madness in this sense is, you know, a reference to, you know, the insanity meter and Lovecraftian horrors that damage you not only physically but alter your mind and rend at your constitution or whatever you want to call it, so all that good stuff. And I was like, okay, what about madness in the other sense? What are monsters of madness that we know? Well, there's the Incredible Hulk, Oscar the Grouch, Alex Jones, you know, just famous,
just really angry people. Yeah,
just angry people. And I would posit, or, you know, would like to submit that Monsters of Madness should have a, you know, Monsters of Anger expansion. And in this expansion, they would add creatures and other real life people that are known for being angry. And so there you go. That is my Monsters of Madness twist expansion that is added into the game.
You could have, yeah, like Azura's Wrath, whatever that Azura from that guy. Person.
Yeah.
Famously always mad.
That one tennis player that, like, used to, he became an announcer, but he was famous for snapping his rackets all the time. He was pretty mad all the time.
I don't know who that is, but that guy sounds cool.
Well,
it sounds like that's probably bad sportsmanship, to be honest. I actually take my endorsement back. Unless the racket had it coming.
I'm pretty sure he was famously, at least, again, going off of nothing other than reading one or two quick things about him. I think he was kind of famously a bad sport, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of sports coaches you can throw in there as well. Yeah. Like a ton of sports coaches that could be in the game itself. I have a suggestion, actually, now to a game. So this was one that came during the middle of a play session of it where I was playing Sheriff of Nottingham.
Good game.
And it is a good game. And we were joking around with a group of people that I was playing with, and it got to the point where everyone is on tricycles, and when you call someone, you don't actually give the cards to the sheriff. You just claim what it is, like, I've got four chickens. And then if the sheriff doubts you, then you have the option to give over the package or give over the thing if you'd like. Or if you'd like to try to get away from the sheriff, then a tricycle race ensues, and you both have to pedal around, I don't know, whatever play area that you have until either you get away, the sheriff's done chasing you, or the sheriff catches you, and you have to give the bag at that point.
So you've added Duck Duck Goose to the game.
Well, no, it's not like Duck Duck Goose, you know.
Well, I guess just the fact that there's a chasing aspect is the only reason I think that, but yeah, no, I like it.
Oh, yeah, I guess, in that sense, it is Duck Duck Goose, but I also want to say, like, you can go anywhere. If you're in a huge ballroom and you're playing this game, you have the ability to trike even out of it, like, all around the ballroom if you want. You could trike outside. It's all up to the player on how far they're willing to go away from the sheriff.
So if you're outside at a park, it has now become a game of endurance where the player could just bike away, just very far away. And I guess the sheriff would have to just kind of like monitor the grounds, kind of like a guard dog, just kind of triking around. And then the player would have to, you know, plan their attempt to come back successfully. I mean, this game sounds like it would take days at that point, but that's
would take days, or maybe just one round of playing the rule until everyone is tired. and that's the more likely outcome of this additional rule here. But yeah, that's my improvement to Sheriff of Nottingham.
After a couple of games of this, your quads would be dynamite.
You absolutely would be ready. Yeah.
You could kick down a tree.
You'd be ready to do like a marathon, a triathlon, whatever you want to do. Kick down a tree if you want, I guess. If one of them's in your way and you're trying to escape, sure, kick the tree down.
Just a group of super human strength quads playing this game in the park. And every time you go, there's like, oh no, it's these guys again.
Yeah. And they only use their powers for board games. So, yeah. That was fun. I can definitely think of more things that, maybe not right now, but in the future, go ahead and think of some more things.
Awesome. Yeah. No, that is good stuff. I guess, like I said, I hope that was a little brain teaser, mind warm up, amuse-bouche.
That was good because I actually have been thinking about that tricycle rule, and I was like, I wonder if I can fit this into the podcast somehow. So this is a great segue.
There we go.
To getting there, so fantastic.
So let's jump in. Hey, we're a board game podcast. That's what we do here. And now we're gonna come up with a board game on the spot, right before your ears.
And sometimes we cuss.
Yeah, and sometimes we say like shit.
That's the first cuss. You did it. You broke the ice. That's the first cuss inside this explicit podcast.
I think we've cussed before. I'm pretty positive.
I think I've said hell and damn, but I don't think I've gone that far.
I don't know. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying that I think that one of us has. said a damn swear.
Who can keep track at this
point? How about that?
Cool. Yeah, we make board games, and now we've cussed. So hey, let's come up with a board game.
Yeah. So in the I guess theming or in the honor of our after hours recording, I was thinking theme of after hours, you know, like either it's got notes of sultry, smooth vibes or something like that, or it's about, you know, yeah, dangerous, cool guys and gals being awesome on their motorcycles or tricycles and leather jackets, kicking down doors.
Sure.
Either
one. We can try to come up something like that.
Just keeping like after hours as like our root of the game.
Okay. Well, I can tell you what I was coming into this session with.
Before.
And it's maybe we can merge the two of them together.
Okay.
But I was thinking about all of the different sort of things that require change these days and how there's not a whole lot of change. And it would be some sort of change battle, or like who can get the most change between like a laundromat or like a meter maid, even though a lot of meters are now done electronically, like you don't actually put quarters and stuff in those things anymore. But it'd be like all the different things that like an arcade, a laundromat, a meter maid, those are actually the only three that I have in terms of using change in today's modern society. But I didn't know if there was something there with that. Maybe, maybe not, but that's my jumping off point.
What if, what if this, in a world where change has become almost obsolete, change is coming for you, and it's about playing as the various change. So I guess if we're using standard American as a quarter, a dime, a nickel, a penny, a half dollar, or a whole dollar coin, if you're getting crazy.
That Susan B.
Yeah, whole Susan B. Or Sacagawea.
Or Sacagawea. Or the 50 cent Kennedy.
Is it Kennedy?
I think Kennedy's on the 50 cent.
I'm not going to argue with you. I just, or doubt you. I just literally did not know.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I know that he's on a coin. Not a very common one, but...
Well, let's not look it up.
That's not. He's on the 50 cent.
Yep, we're saying it here. But so as change is becoming obsolete, they are trying to instill themselves back into society. So maybe, as you said, how like, you know, there's the laundromat, there's the arcade, there's the meters, there's trying to think of other ones, maybe like payphones. I mean, not anymore, not that even payphones really exist.
Yeah, payphones can make a comeback.
But it's you play as a nefarious group of coins trying to make society, you know, you're trying to reincorporate yourself back into society.
Okay.
And maybe even you go a step further by destroying dollars and banks and credit altogether so that people can only use coins.
I mean, that is a far out idea than what I was thinking of, just playing as like the coin collecting kind of establishments, but you want the players to be the physical coins themselves.
They are the coins, but that's the thing, is that then they can acquire and buy like laundromats and stuff. And like you said, like most of them are going electronic. Like, no, these coins only run coin based laundromats, and they're gonna sabotage the, you know, the other laundromats to then take over the next one and force society more and more to use coins.
Okay. All right. Sorry. No, I'm silent because I'm just thinking
how... blown away by this idea.
Yeah, no, I am. It's what an idea. The problem that I'm struggling with is the now very cool aspect. Like, what if this was, like, if we're going for the late night vibe, should this be set in like Vegas or something like that?
Oh yeah, it has to be. Yes, good call. Or like, okay, you know, a fictional Vegas, but yes, definitely. Oh, slots, boom.
Easy. Oh, slots.
Easy.
There we go. Okay, now we're on to something here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. So this is not Vegas then. What should the name of our fictional town be?
Oh man, I'm trying to like, I'm thinking of, should we either call it like adjacent to coin or something that is completely opposite from coin? Like, I don't know, Creditsville or something like that. Like, you know,
Creditsville.
I don't know. Like something that is the antithesis of coins. And so, you know, coins are trying to make their way back. Or it could be something along the lines of coins and, you know, they've since been replaced.
What if you just called it something in money in general, like Las Mula or something like that?
I like that. I'm like
Lost
trying to...
Lost Mula. Like, ooh, it's lost.
I like that. Or, new to insinuate or imply that it's, you know, new and shiny. New dollar sign. No.
With the... yeah, maybe not that.
We'll come up with a name for the town.
Yeah, we'll get somewhere with that. So, yeah. Okay, all right. So, this is some sort of seedy, hip, cool town,
mm-hmm.
like Las Vegas, before it got family friendly.
Yeah.
And
this is very much like a Scorsese Goodfellas casino vibe game.
Yeah. Las Scorsese. That's the name of our town. We'll just take that from him.
Our town is El Dinero, but spelled like Robert De Niro.
Isn't his last name the same as the spelling?
Is it?
Bob Money.
Robert Money.
Bobby Money.
Oh, okay. Well, that's easily a character right there. Bobby Money.
Bobby Money.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So you play as a coin.
Mm-hmm.
One of the coins. And are all of the coins sentient, or are just some of them?
I think the way I'm envisioning it, like the core of the game, is that it's not cooperative. You are against each other.
Yeah. Cooperation isn't cool.
Yeah. And you each play as different coins. And you probably have, like everyone has, like, an innate ability. Like, I don't know, like, the dollar coin would probably, like, I don't know, they'd have something for being the biggest. But the penny would have something for being, like, the most populous. Maybe the dime would have something for being small and, you know, I guess can sneak into places. Whatever those mechanics turn out to be. But then, I think, as the game goes on, as you acquire more and more places, as you sabotage other places, you acquire more coins. And with more coins, you can, you know, not only buy more places and have more powers or more abilities and stuff, but you can kind of attack rival coins or maybe even, like take over their establishments or sabotage them until there's one person who owns or at least has control of the majority of the coins or... I don't know what would end the game, but that's what I'm imagining would be, like, kind of the point value of it.
Well, I still didn't get... I mean, that all sounds great, but, like...
What?
I still didn't get my question answered. Are all of the coins and money sentient?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Is it, like, every single one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not just... I was envisioning that this was, like, some man who was walking around Los Scorsese and got struck by lightning, and then the money in his pocket got... You know, they came to life while he died. And then from there, they were like, we need to make coins more popular. And then from there, they start, you know, heisting banks only to take all the money to then bury it in the desert because they don't like cash.
Mm.
And they just, like, get rid of it. And then
Is this a cooperative game?
No, it wouldn't be cooperative. It's still not cooperative, but, like... Okay. It's like a phase kind of game. Like, there'd be, like, phase one of the game would be cooperative, and then phase two is the betrayal aspect of it.
Oh.
Where then the crew, once Lost Scorsese, which I will keep saying until we figure out a better name, is dependent on the coins now that all of the paper money is gone. And it's just these coins committing the crimes.
Yeah.
You know,
then they
all
the
other
top.
Coins. What's that?
Oh, I was just saying, then they vie for the top.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like all of these other coins then you know, they know that the rest of them aren't sentient, but they're like, we're gonna get thrown out if paper like stays on top, if credit stays on top, you know? What's this electronic stuff? So it's like a series of heists in phase one of number one, destroying the banks. And then number two is then once the town is now only used coins, it's like who can get the most coins. And then I don't know, maybe there's some aspects like if you keep some of the paper money, maybe you use it, you're like really going on the back of like you're stabbing your other like coin friends in the back. I don't know. I mean, that's my only thought on it.
The main reason I was saying that all coins are sentient, and I like maybe there are regular people and coins, you know, are just alive in this town, is that like one of the mechanics you could do to like kind of manipulate the incursion of coins that like, yeah, you destroy credit card machines, but then you instill more ATMs and put more ATMs out there so people are taking out money, but then you like influence and force the prices of everything to be like, you know, whatever amount of dollars in like 51 cents. So people are getting, you know, 49 cents back or like very strange denominations. So more and more coins are going into people's pockets. And then as coins have been, you know, distributed amongst the masses at night, the after hours aspect is when they, you know, do the heist and steal from the poor citizens and the residents of this of Los Scorsese.
All right. So all the coins then just live amongst the people, and the people are cool with that.
No, they don't know. That's the sneaky aspect
Oh,
of it.
it's Toy Story rules.
Yes, it is Toy Story rules.
Oh, wait, this
Yeah.
is a good, I like this idea. I like this. Okay, so like the point of then that there's a lot of coins around is so that when the citizens bring like more coins back to their house, that's like your crew then.
Yeah.
And like okay, that's we could do a lot with that then, 'cause
That's your
then yeah, when
people
they
on
go
the
to
inside.
yeah, so like if you've got a guy who's like walking around with basically you in his pocket, and then he like goes to sleep in some hotel, that's when, depending on how many coins he has in his pocket and change that he just can't get rid of, that's your crew for the night, and then you can do a heist and some other things.
Yeah. Yes.
That's pretty good.
You just steal. You steal the person's stuff and then, you know, get out of there and you leave.
Yeah. Obviously, so the point of it would be what's even cooler about this idea is that you can get your character can get spent on a machine and then like deposited somewhere else out in like I don't know this city area and then like assemble a new crew and
Exactly.
like eventually the idea is to like the overall goal for all of the coins and all of the players would be to destroy as much credit cards as you can. And because the more credit cards that are gone, the more paper money is out there. So, like, there's got to be some sort of mechanic. Like, let's say that there's 100 like NPCs, quote unquote, inside this area, and every single one of them, you somehow have to track like who's got a credit card and who doesn't. And so, like, as your character, as all the players are bouncing around from like player to player, or like NPC to NPC, and like destroying their credit cards, that's when more and more crews can form.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, and so that's the thing, like that's what I was thinking of, like when we're talking like kind of like mechanics in terms of powers, like, or I mean, heck, you know, maybe everyone is just on the same playing field. It's just more of like flavor and characterization that someone is the dollar coin, someone is the penny or whatever. But like dollar coin, I'm gonna imagine like when they do a robbery or something like that, they're gonna be able to carry more. They're just a bigger coin. But the penny, because there's typically, you know, more pennies around, or at least I'm just gonna go ahead and say that in our fictional world, there are more pennies around. Maybe you have more influence whenever you go into a new situation. So you're just trying to get traded as much as you can in order to accumulate more and more coins and more influence to then go out and destroy as many credit cards as you can.
What if, okay, here's my pitch, is that let's say that this coin that is alive and walking around and stuff, like all of the players, they play as some sort of really weird coin. Like they're all like the 13 cent coin. Like
Oh.
it's like really
Seven and a
weird.
half.
Yeah, exactly. Some sort of unspendable coin. And basically how it goes is like you were saying, all of those like the pennies, the dimes, the quarters, the you know, 50 and $1 coins, they all have certain powers, but how you travel around whenever you go into a pocket, depending on how many coins, let's say you go into a pocket of a guy who's got like 4 pennies and a quarter, like you can use those pennies powers for something that would like increase your power, basically. Like you could use like, you know what I'm saying? Like then you have like 1 quarter in the crew and like then you get to do something else. And then like the next time that you get spent, or I don't know exactly how the 13 and a half coin gets spent, but at some point you do go through a coin machine or deposit it somewhere. And then as the game progresses and more people have coins in their pockets, everyone's like, everyone's crew by the end of the game is just like huge.
I think that's the main thing though. I think you actually went right on top of it for, you know, for this idea really quick. You as the weird coin, you can actually not be spent anywhere. That's why you have to go out and increase your influence and gather your crew so that when they get spent at a machine, they can destroy it from the inside. But you simply, you just, you know, change hands. You unfortunately have to like, you know, go into or like get spent at like a convenience store. You're in the drawer, you're making your rousing speech to all the other coins in there of the glorious coin uprising. You rip up all your bills on the way out, and then you tell one coin like, okay, like, hey, you go over here to like the slots machine, and then when you get in, you know, like wreck up the place. And then you like you go to the laundromat, and when you get there, like make sure to get as many other coins as you can and get out of there. So like that would be how it is. But unfortunately, you as the odd coin, you never, well, at least if you're ever spent, it's always by like accident or something like that.
What if you could do this? No, I like this. What if you can do, you can make two choices as this odd coin. Is you can either decide to jump out of the person's pocket if you'd like, and you'd be picked up by the next person, and you kind of can see who's around. Like if you know there's like a pedestrian who's walking behind you, and you somehow, you know that he's got a lot of coins and you want to join that crew or like organize that one, you can do that. Or whenever your human passes by a convenience store, you can choose to be left into the take a penny, leave a penny. And that's like that's the watering hole, and that's where you can start anew, and then you can choose which human comes in and takes all the pennies or something like that, and that's your new crew. But there's like a plethora of like convenience stores around here, and you'd be like, all right, while my human is walking by this one, I'm going to have him drop me off in this take a penny, leave a penny, and then, like, that's my new crew is whatever's in that spot.
Yes, definitely. And that's why I think, too, it's like as you move around, I mean, I guess you would have your immediate crew, but I think you should be able to, obviously, like, while you're in a pocket, depending on how much, you know, coinage is in there, you can, like, be like, hey, like, join my cause. We're going to the glorious coin revolution, and we're going to go out there and make society ours, and they all agree. So they're like in your crew and they're going out and doing tasks. They're like kind of like your pieces that you get to move on the board then. But your main character, obviously, as you said, you can jump out of the pocket, you can go in to take a penny, leave a penny, and acquire more coins, and that's how the game is played.
We should have it so that you, if you acquire enough coins, then that's when you can go to do certain heists, like bigger ones, like go to the bank.
Yeah.
When you get like
enough coins to be in a role.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
I cut you and off.
No, you beat me to it, and I love that because I was thinking the exact same thing. Once you get enough to get inside a role, that's when you are able to take over the bank. And if you've got like a role, if you were able to acquire enough pennies, then maybe you get some bonus. But like if you get into like a role of like the dollar coins, the big ones, that one means like the whole bank is just like that one, that bank is now yours, and it like produces coins to join your squad and whatnot. And like there's like more perks depending on how you take over a bank, and you can usurp other banks if another player has that bank and you bring in like a higher coin total or a higher like roll of coins
than they currently have. Then
you can take it over, and then once you get to the dollar roll of coins, then it's maxed out, and then that's yours forever. So you have to make those concessions to get those high stake ones. And I'll say like bank is obviously the highest, but like you can do the same thing if you deposit just like enough coins that don't even have to be in a roll into like an arcade, into like a casino slot machine. But there should also be like a bank inside the casino too, because obviously there would be a bank, so there's like two sections of the bank itself that you can control.
So we're kind of like, this is not only Toy Story, but now we're like into like kind of like Ratatouille, except it's more like mind control, these coins that like if you have enough in a person's pocket, they like become their envoy, which I'm totally down with. I'm just kind of,
well, I was thinking either that or like, you know, it would be kind of like, it would be kind of funny to see how this game would be played out if the humans that you're in, that you're basically in the pockets of,
mm-hmm.
they have a specific route of where they're going to go. So you have to make the route. You can see where every single human's going for some reason. I don't really know how that works lore wise, but you can decide
these,
to.
These coins have been around for a while. They know things.
Yeah, they know exactly how the humans work or what their schedules are. So like you have to then make routes based on like, if I jump out at this cross intersection, I know that this human will pick me up who is heading towards this cross intersection, which is close to the casino. And if we jump out from there, we'll cross paths with this other human who I know is going into the casino. And at that point is where we will do the heist or whatever.
Mm, so okay, it's, okay.
The mechanic of it is basically like you not only have to, you know, get enough coins from like going in and out of people's pockets, but you also have to figure out the routes that they're on, like predetermined routes that they're on to get to where you want to go.
No, I like that a lot because now it's a game of not just like being like, okay, I'm going to go here. You have to think ahead and be like, okay, like with this guy going to the, you know, like a, you know, convenience store or whatever, I want to leave a nickel and two dimes here so that when they get there, they can go and be in the take a penny and leave a penny and, you know, accrue more masses. But I'm going to jump out and jump in this guy's pocket who's going to, you know, the bank, and I'm going to try and put some money in there. And but on the way, I'm going to hop out and hop in this lady's purse and head to the casino. And once I get there, I'll really start to like accrue some things. And then, yeah, you've just got so many moving pieces. This is an extremely intricate game. At this point.
Exactly. And I want this board to be like gigantic, like tons of cross streets on there. And
oh yeah.
I'm not exactly how the humans' paths will work out or what exactly how that works. There should also be like a transit system. I'm not saying like cars, but there should also be like your human can get onto like a train or a bus.
Oh yeah, fare. Fare is another huge one.
Oh man, fare. Well, I will say we should make fare electronic and then like The game will change as it goes on. Like, after one person takes out, I don't know, after one person takes out some sort of, like, electrical grid or something, then you have to...
you destroy whatever, the power lines.
Yeah, whatever power, or just, like, the things powering those electrical things. I'm saying, like most of at the beginning of the game, your crew's going to be fairly small until you can get those big jobs done, like taking out the electrical grid that powers whatever chip charger or like chip scanner at the, you know, CTA, that's Chicago's, but the public transit is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, then, this place also uses the CTA.
Yeah. Chicago.
Chicago Los, Transit Authority is in charge of Los Scorsese.
Yeah. it's weird how it works, but they got around it. So yeah, but then like, but you know, you can get more coins from fare, but then let's say that the player that owns the fare or that like owns the actual coin operation machines for that, they also get a cut of it. So whenever you get some money from using, you know, stealing coins from the fare, the other person also gets some coins on their crew. So depending on which sort of things you've taken out or you have control of, that's how it's convenient for the other players, but also you get like some money as well.
Yeah. Yes. So, okay, so how does scoring work at the end? Is it just how many coins you have? Like, I mean, is it literally just the size of your crew and the point value that they have? I mean, again, that's a very simple one, but I think that's actually kind of perfect then, because then it's just whoever has the biggest crew, whoever got into the most places, this, that, and the other.
It's got to be a combination of owning certain parts, like owning a bank. It's got to be, like, it's got to be victory point based, because then otherwise the people who are putting in like a lot of money and effort, like literal money into, well, not literal, whatever, game money, taking out these certain
objectives
locations.
And such.
Yeah, objectives. Okay. I will say, like, when you expend the amount to like do the heist, like maybe you don't get those coins back. But like if you own like a ton of the land around it, or like, you know, you've completed some of the objectives of like taking out the electrical power at some other place, or like converting more chip reading ATMs to like just printing money, then at that point, you know, you get some money, or not some money, you get some victory points.
Yeah.
That lead to that eventual, you know, victory, basically.
Okay. So You get victory points for, you know, the size, or like, you know, for different denominations of coins. You know, yep. I'm just gonna say ranging from penny being the lowest value to the dollar being the highest one. Easy peasy.
That makes sense.
And then you also get victory points for completing those objectives. And that's the thing, is that, like, I actually like that, because if you really want to, like, if someone does jump off to an early lead, like, let's say, I don't know, they went for, like, a really fast strategy where they're just getting all the pennies, and they're just, like, just influencing penny after penny after penny after penny, and they're hitting the cheap spots, and their score is just going higher and higher and higher. Maybe you and I, or, you know, if there's a third player, you and I can join together and be like, okay, well, you know what? We're going to work together to bring down the power grid, because even though we're going slower, we're going to be the ones that take out the big objective for the big points, and hopefully that will be enough to counteract, you know, this kind of Zerg-style game that X person is playing.
Yeah, exactly. You can. I want to cater to both kind of like play styles of people maybe not going for the objectives and just hitting up the convenience stores and making sure that every single one of those take a penny, leave a penny things is just completely gone.
Yeah.
And that would be one way of going about it. But then also in addition, you also have the people who like build up points, like massive amount of points at the end. If they want to be playing towards that game style, then you can be doing that as well.
Yeah. Also, let me pitch this really fast for the town. Cincinnati.
Damn. Yeah, no, that's what it should be. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. C-E-N-T. Cincinnati. Oh, and Sin spelled S-I-N.
So, Cincinnati?
No, Cent. So, like, C-E-N-T, Cent, and then Sin, S-I-N.
Oh, I see. I had them reversed.
Maybe it could even be like a space in there, like Scent Cincinnati.
Yeah, and then if we get Natty Light on this, we'll slap their logo right on this box if they want to.
This is
an adult coins game. Can be drinking beers for all I care.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you take over another player's either bank or establishment or whatever, it's a very hostile card that is revealed, and it just shows two coins like brawling. You know, one's got like a black eye. It's like, it's a grisly game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is great. Should we just call it? Should we say like, should there be something? I mean, Cincinnati should be definitely part of the title itself for this. Should we have some other sort of words that attach to that, or should we just call it Cincinnati?
Yeah, I'm thinking like throwing in something like crime families of Cincinnati, you know, obviously not those words exactly, but something along those lines, like,
yeah,
I don't know,
I'm trying to think, like
the Dons and Dames of Cincinnati. I don't know
the if that's Dons that. And Dames,
yeah, I don't know.
What's the like, what's the bureau that prints the money on the federal level? Isn't it just the revenue?
Yeah,
that's just the bureau.
Is it the IRS?
No, I don't know. I was just trying to think, like, Cincinnati, like, revenue domination, or, like,
ooh.
Cincinnati, something along those
lines. Wait, the Revenution. The Revenution.
You're on fire with titles and puns.
Cincinnati Revenution.
Yeah, no, that's what it should be called. I think, yeah, Cincinnati Revenution.
Yeah, just this is that late night energy.
We come at you with the great puns.
There we go. I think to sign, seal, deliver it, because I always love that we're actually kind of throwing this in now too. We already have one of the characters, Bobby Money, or
Bobby Money. Yes.
Bobby Money. He's kind of like the slick, you know, stereotypical mobster type of guy. You know, not like old family, like new. He's got sunglasses on. He's got toothpick,
mm-hmm.
all that good stuff. I'm trying to think of like a spin on like femme fatale or something like that, but to do with like money in any kind of way or coins.
Let's see. I mean, you're the one that's really on fire with the puns and stuff. Femme fatale, scent fatale. No, that's not good.
Or like. I actually don't know. What dime piece? Is that a reference to like a gun or something like that? I actually have literally no idea what.
Dime piece.
I know that that's like a phrase or like a saying.
The internet knows. Now we have to look it up.
Okay. We'll go to the internet now.
No, a dime piece is a beautiful woman.
Oh, okay. Well, we could. I want to change the words just a little bit to like be a play on that. But Dime as a first name is pretty cool.
Dime is, yeah, I would say that is a really cool person. I would say first name.
Or maybe like
there's a rapper named Dime Piece.
Ooh.
Or just like a dime.
Maybe we could even put like in a what's it called? An accent mark or whatever over the E, so it's like Dime Piece or something like that. And she's, you know, got the long, it's not a cigarello, it's what it's with the cigarette holder.
Yeah. She's got a big Audrey Hepburn kind of thing.
Yeah, she's got a big fur jacket or coat or whatever.
That's fine. I like that idea.
Perfect. Any on your side?
I'm thinking, well, like there's Tenpenny. Tenpenny's a thing, right? Or is that just like a last name?
That's just a good name right there. Tenpenny.
I think Tenpenny's a thing as well.
That's Tenpenny. A good one.
Sherry Tenpenny. It's just like a last name, I guess. Dr. Fossley. Okay, I don't know what I'm looking at. Yeah, Tenpenny's like a last name, I guess. Oh, anti-vaxxer Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Oh, that's why that's coming into my mind. Because that's why I've heard that name before, because she's an anti-vax person. Not that I listen to get my information, but I listen to make fun of her.
We're reclaiming that word. It's our word now.
Well, it's a last name, but we can take it, I guess.
Well, we're going to make it, it's our thing. It's no longer hers.
Call it Ninepenny.
Yeah. It's a 9 cent coin.
Yeah, all of these should be something along the lines of like just different values that aren't even. That's what all these coins are. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly got no better name than Bobby Money, so that's all I can really give you.
That's fine. We'll get this more into the creatives' hands, and well, I guess we're kind of the creatives, but that's fine. I think we got some real good roots. We got the name down, all that good stuff. Let's wrap it up and ship it out. Who goes first?
Who goes first? We could do it like a Beyblade style thing, where if you have one of those like elusive coins, like the 50 cent one, it's basically like whatever change you have in your pocket, and you spin it like a Beyblade, and then you have like an arena to see whose falls over first. So it would highly favor you to get that really big 50 cent one, even though it's not the, you know, it's bigger than the dollar coin, then you can basically win.
I love this. Can I just add an element to it?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's not just one coin that you send, but it's all the coins you have in your pocket. As long as you have, and I guess you need to come up with some way to track it, or maybe you can just, you know, argue it out. But like, let's say we're both playing and I spin a penny in there and then you spin a quarter in there, and I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna need another coin. And then I spin a nickel in there and then my penny gets knocked out, but my nickel is still going. And then before the nickel gets knocked out, I spin another dime in there, and I'm just
yeah, no, that's perfect.
Spinning coins in there until one of us, I guess if we're only playing two players, but yes, until whoever's coin is the last one standing spinning gets to go first.
That's perfect, because then, and it can only be the coins in your pocket. You can't just bring a huge piggy bank. So you are encouraged to bring as many coins as you can in your pocket. Bring like the deepest pockets of like a JNCO jeans to this game, and you will probably be able to go first if you fill those bad boys up with coins. And I'm saying like the normal pockets. Don't wear cargo shorts. Cargo shorts don't count. I mean, you can wear cargo shorts.
It's one pocket. It's one pocket.
Okay, yeah, that's a better way to put it. You can fill up a cargo short pocket, but you only get to fill one pocket full of coins, and those are the ones you're allowed to spin.
Yeah, you can try to bring a Scrooge McDuck's worth of coins, but you're going to be dragging your pants around town.
You can't customize your pants so that it has like one large like tube sock of a pocket. It's just like
a sewn in like butt flap.
Yeah, exactly. You are allowed to do that so long as it is functional as a pocket, and so long as you can walk yourself to the actual table.
Yeah. So this is definitely going to encourage people to play on like, you know, at least a second floor or something like that, because it's just like, oh man, you got to get up here either by, you know, stairs or ramp. Come on.
You have to walk to the table at some distance in order to qualify for the coin spinning.
Yeah.
You can't just like walk up to the table, put the coins in your pocket, and then pull them out. You actually have to carry them in your pocket.
Yeah. I guess if you're a big, strong person, you know, that would favor you. You know, this game favors you to start first. You can carry a huge pocket's worth of coins.
Yeah, or if you just know, like, the perfect spinning coins. If you, like, you I go. Don't know which of those state quarters actually have the most even weighted sides. Yeah. Because you know that when you flip a quarter, it's actually not 50-50 because of, like, the art and stuff on it. You know?
Aren't the heads and stuff, they protrude a little bit more, so there's like a little bit more weight on the head side, so that's why I think that's actually how like Tails Never Fails became a thing.
Probably, yeah. I do know that they're not, it's not exactly 50-50 because of just how exactly the coin is. So
we're basically now we're just inventing Beyblades but with coins, so people are like, oh man, you got that Illinois coin.
Yeah. The Hawaii coin's got the perfect balance.
Oh, yeah, but the Washington coin's really a striker, and it's like just the perfect coin to really get in there.
I got that Pennsylvania coin. It's a great sweeper.
Yeah, but Florida's really just a good defensive coin. It's hard to knock down.
Boo, Florida. No, I just clipped the mic so hard on that. It's going to have to get dragged down a lot because it just booed too loud.
Sorry, yeah, I should have known. Shouldn't have brought it up.
Shouldn't have brought up that Florida coin.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, my excitement level was just through the roof, dear listeners, so I hope that you can forgive me. Anyways, I think that wraps us up.
Yeah, we have been Miss Dunn Needs More Games. You can find us on Twitter at PatchPotchRND, and for any professional inquiries, reach out to PatchPotchLLC@gmail.com to spell it out, PatchPotch. And I think that's it.
Yeah, that's all I got. Thank you so much for listening. And like I said, if you listen to this before 6 p.m., how dare you? But also, nice. You little risk taker. Good job.
Oh, yeah.
I actually support that. There's the twist at the end.
This game's for you.
Yeah. if you listen to this before 6 p.m., nice.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I got nothing else here.
Nice. Do you got a sign off? Anything in mind? I'm brewing something. It sounds it's a little down to the wire, but I think I can get something.
Okay, I mean, are you saying that it's still brewing, like you need me to stall for time, or you just want to try to just hash it out, just blurt out whatever you have?
I think I got it. Okay, ready?
All right, go for it.
All right. Between the coin and the cannoli, always take the cannoli.
You really had to stifle my laugh for that. You were going. That's perfect. Great job.
Bye.